Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was thinking about today and the way times are today and how being a parent, I'm a parent of three sons. I'm a parent of three sons, and as I have been thinking about how things were in raising my sons and looking at things now, and I'll tell you something, much more difficult being a parent today than it ever was when my sons were growing up. A much easier time to be a parent, you know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And yeah, I mean, we were no different than parents today who wants what's in the best interest of their children, who want to make sure that their children get an opportunity to succeed in this society. But I got to tell you, it is much more difficult on parents today than it ever was during my time to raise their children. Now, there's something, have you ever heard of snowplow parenting? Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Have you ever heard of the term snowplow parenting? And probably not many of you have. But what it really is parents who want to move all obstacles out of their children's way. And really want their children to be able to have a smooth slide throughout this life. And I'll tell you, that's not a good thing. If you're in a position economically that you can make your child's life easy and that they don't face the adversities that life, that we all are going to be faced with, regardless of whether you're rich or poor, black or white, male or female, Democrat or Republican. The fact of the matter is, in this life, part of what it is we are going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged every day of this life was never set out to be easy. And so the younger you are, the more, you know, you are protected from what in the end is the life itself. You know, I just think you set yourself up and your child up to have a difficult life because life is not easy. This life is never going to be easy. There are too many variables involved in the life that you can't protect your child from adversity at every turn. You can try. Did I try to protect my sons? Yes, I did. you know, to the degree that I didn't want them to make mistakes, maybe some mistakes that I made. And I think that's part of being a parent, that you want what's best for your child, and you want your child to be protected from all the different things that happen in this life. But guess what? You can't. There is nothing you can do, bubble wrap, as some would say, your child. Well, a snowplow parent, and it's just another title that they are using. They've changed maybe it from, I don't know what it used to be called, but it's what we all at some point in time wanted, and that was to protect our children. I think it's human nature to protect your child and make it easy, as easy as possible on them. And you, Calvin, you're a young guy, man. So was life easy for you?
I think I was very blessed and privileged to live a pretty
carefree life,
carefree childhood. I don't think I had things handed to me or anything in that nature, though. I think my parents did a good job of instilling in me, you have to work for what you want.
Yeah. So, but that easy, I mean, have you since, you have to find your own way in life, right? I mean, even with all the things that we do as parents to try to protect our children, you just cannot protect them from, you know, life's lessons.
That is definitely right, Earl. I definitely, once you grow up, go off to college, things like that, live on your own for a little bit, you realize that the world isn't everything you thought it was.
Yeah. Well, let me say this to you. And you made me stop and pause, man, in the middle of my sentence, that the world isn't everything that we thought it was. What did you think it was?
Well, you know, everything. It just seems like it would be, I don't know, it just seems like you should be able to go through life and
succeed at it, right?
Succeed at it, exactly. But
right.
Sometimes there's things outside of your control that you didn't. As a kid, it seems like everything is, it has a plan, but sometimes the plan, it doesn't work.
So these snowplow parents, and I don't know, man, I don't know if I can blame, you know, the parents of the millennials and others who were probably no different than I was and my wife were in trying to protect our children. That's a natural thing, but trying to protect your child today is a lot more difficult than it was during my time in trying to protect your child, because these things that I'm sitting in front of, man, these computers and the internet and all of the things. So these things didn't exist when I was coming up. And so what our parents tried to protect us from were things that we could see on the street, bad people, and those types of things. We didn't have access to all of the types of things that children have access to now. I was looking at something the other day as the government is trying to shut down TikTok, right? The government is trying to shut down TikTok. And many parents have not been on TikTok. They don't know what TikTok can do in the way of misleading young minds, right? I mean, there's some things on there, I guess, that are decent, but to say that the government itself does not have the power to shut down or to fine entities like TikTok and some of the others, you know what they are, and yet children 10, 12 years old, get access to those kinds of things. And a parent shouldn't have to protect children that young from those types of things. I believe that those types of things should not be available to children at those young ages. But how do you prevent it, Calvin? I mean, how do you prevent young children from who have access. I've seen parents who give a, what is it called, man? It's in between this phone and this laptop. What do you call those?
A tablet.
Tablets. And somehow, at what, 3-4 years old, children get tablets.
Oh, yeah. I have little cousins, and they got tablets at before they're in school.
Yeah. And so there's mechanisms, I guess, to protect children from it. But I do believe in some instances, when you look at the way things are now and where we're headed, that if those entities themselves, those sites, won't do what is right to protect young people and children from those sites, that the government needs to step forward and do something to prevent what I think is the destruction of the minds of children at too young an age. Like I said, that wasn't around when I was a parent, and parents have to deal with that kind of thing in addition to all the other things. Well, a snowplow parent has their hands full. And let's do this. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. What say you? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about a phenomenon called, right now, it's called snowplow parents, but I guess it's no different than used to use the term called helicopter parents. But what's happening is parents struggling in through social media, having to deal with children and protect them from social media and the stress and pressures that their friends, and even though when I was a kid, okay, there was something called Leave It to Beaver. And so Wally, this young man who was destined for success, athlete, great student, raised right by his parents. Success was written all over him. But he had a wayward friend named, what was his name, man? Come on. Eddie Haskell, right. Eddie Haskell, guys know what I'm talking about. And so the parents had to constantly struggle. Ward and June Cleaver had to constantly struggle with trying to keep Wally on the straight and narrow. And, Wally had this friend who was a friend who was kind of wayward. But it was the kind of guy that Wally picked out for his friend. And so, you know, parents in my time had to deal with whether or not we made the right decision, who our friends are going to be. And that was about the worst of it. And when I was raising my boys, it was the same way. Who were they around? We wanted to make sure that we knew the kind of people that were hanging around, and that was half the battle. But that's not the case today. There are so many different variables that parents are forced to deal with, man, that I don't even know whether or not I could be a successful parent today. Because if it's not just the fact that your child is hanging out with the wrong people, it's the fact that they have access to the internet. And I think sometimes that internet is worse than the physical person that your child is hanging out with. Calvin, you know, I mean, all these different sites, man, that come up that we don't even know about, right? I mean, that not just an adult like you, but, man, children in middle school are exposed to.
Oh, I'm sure there's apps and websites out there that kids are on that I've never heard of.
Yeah, and that parents don't know anything about. And the fact that very few of them are offering good advice, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there might be some of it on there, but you got to sift through much more bad stuff to get to it.
Well, yes. So, but the people who have to sift through that are the children. And the children wind up, look, it's not coincidental, it's not accidental that we have so many children who are going through some difficult, difficult lives, even if they live in the suburbs, even if, you know, their parents are well off with drugs, right? I mean, you know, people in middle schools taking drugs. Well, I'm not talking about marijuana, man. I'm not just talking about that. We're talking about all sorts of different meds, pills and things that children are exposed to. And they're exposed to those kinds of things without their parents even knowing. And I've talked with many. And you see children who have so many psychological issues. They're under undue stress and pressure today. And it's much more difficult for parents to raise their children today than I think it ever was, and it's not getting any better. I know I constantly hear people, because I spend a lot of time around young people, and I spend a lot of time in the public school system over the years, and saw this damage that was being done to children at very young ages. And again, it's not just in the urban centers. It's all over. And it's what's happening with technology. And the fact that technology is not controlled at all. And so you wonder where your child is able to pick up some things that you know they didn't get from you. And yet it endangers long-term them, unless you're willing to have the conversations necessary to put them in a position of where they can feel safe about their lives and comfortable with where they're headed. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The mothership can't save you, so your ass is gonna get but fate's been kind. The downs have been few. I guess you could say that I've been lucky. Oh, I guess you could say that it's all because of you.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I haven't talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene much at all. She said so many horrific things, and I don't know how it is that anybody can support her. She's actually a female version of Donald Trump. If there's something crude to be said, she'll say it. And she does not think at all about what it is she says. She's just a hateful, hateful person. And in the face of 50,000 people who died in earthquakes in Syria and Turkey, wouldn't you think that any human being would be very careful about their response to 50,000 people dying? But Marjorie Taylor Greene voted against mourning the earthquake victims. Now, you know, mourning the victims of tragic events is the least any of us could do who are human. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, for whatever reason, did not think it appropriate that our government would mourn those people who have lost their lives. Let me give you a little snippet of what she had to say. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene voted against a resolution to mourn the nearly 50,000 people who died in earthquakes that rocked Syria and Turkey earlier this month. The Georgia Republican was just one of two members of Congress who voted no to the motion that ultimately passed Monday night. It called for mourning of the victims as well as condemnation of efforts by the Assad regime of Syria to exploit the disaster, to evade international pressure and accountability, including by preventing the United Nations from providing assistance through border crossings between Turkey and Syria. I don't care if you are from Syria or Turkey or Egypt or Germany or France or Iraq or Afghanistan or Russia. When a disaster of the magnitude of the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria, and you don't think that we should have some compassion for those fellow human beings, never mind what country they're from, right? I mean, that should that matter? No. In the overall scheme of things, that should not matter whatsoever. And anybody who does think that that matters is a mighty weak part of humanity. Man, those people they're back into the Stone Ages. And I don't care if they are an enemy of the United States. You know, they deserve you know, some support. And if you have any part of you who does not understand that, it's a hard thing for me to measure how you even got to be where you are. You know, everybody has the right to feel the way they want to feel in this country. But if you are a representative of people, then you need to start acting like one and not just a representative of yourself. If you are so low down, which is what Marjorie Taylor Greene actually is, and clearly there is nothing that you can say that's redeeming about her. She revels in saying something and doing something that is as outlandish as anything that you've ever seen. She's a female version of Donald Trump. And it is why the two of them seem to get along so well. But man, to vote against something that's really, you know, in the end, not going to change the outcome or the reality of those people who are struggling in Turkey and Syria is mind-boggling to me. And I just, again, don't understand why we have people who are so hateful, you know, that they're able to do that kind of a thing and say that kind of a thing and then get away with it. And the fact that there's no condemnation of her. She should be condemned at every turn, and she shouldn't be allowed to say it and then show her face. She ought to be afraid. She ought to be like the proverbial turtle and walk around with her head stuck inside of her shell. And not that she somehow can say those hurtful things and then get away with it. Let's go to my friend Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, man? How can a human being, man, say that?
Well, maybe this will shed some light on it. I got an email from a friend of mine who's a conservative, and it was, I wish I knew who the speaker was, but he's talking to this huge group, and he said, I'm going to ask you who has the most criminals, the NBA or the NFL? And he lists all these criminal charges, the grand total of about 120 criminal charges. He said, which one do you think has the most? And, you know, people offer their advice, and he says, neither. That's our Congress. We have the most criminals, more than the NBA and NFL combined, in Congress. And you were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's one of them. I think, you know, your radio group is doing such a wonderful job. We have to tell them, hey, we now have the most criminal Congress we've ever had. And there are people that, with charges pending for being assisting and competing in the January 6th, I call it terrorist attack. And no wonder these people like Marjorie Greene talk this way. We can't ask why. We're allowing all these criminals to partake in our political arena. And why do we give them integrity, responsibility? I think, and it's about time, I don't care if it's TikTok, Facebook, whatever, take a national poll of how many Americans want all those criminals to resign now.
You know,
not ask them.
Go ahead. You know, Bill, I was talking a little earlier about a congressman who lied. Another congressman, Republican congressman, who lied about his record, and he was pointed out, and he clearly stated he made some mistakes in, you know, the information that he gave out. Clearly, he didn't do it intentionally, but it was a mistake. Well, you know, he's allowed to be a congressperson with lying. And yet people are willing to support people in those lies. It's the same thing, man. How can anybody support a person like Marjorie Taylor Greene? She's going to, 99 times out of 100, she's going to say and do the wrong thing. And she does it with a smirk on her face, right? I mean, she doesn't say or do something outlandish and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. She walks around as if, you know, she's just hit the ball out of the park.
Those people take. And it says specifically, I will protect my country against foreign and domestic terrorism. She took an oath to that. She broke the oath. And yet we, and I even say me too, I'm dumb enough to let her serve on that as a respected politician. This is insanity. I don't know who it's going to take. I'd love to at least try it sometime to get a national survey of how fast they want these people to resign now. Not at the end, not run for reelection, resign now.
Well,
because if the media caught that, Earl, and the numbers were going to be huge, and you know they are, that sends a message to Congress. Already they've lost all respect in their jobs. They're almost worthless at that point.
Well, you know, I got to believe that the congressmen and senators of today who've been around for any extended period of time, let's say the Chuck Schumers and others, and even the Mitch McConnells who've been around an extended period of time, Lindsey Grahams and others, and they look at what is out there today, and they've even got to shake their heads and wonder, you know, these used to be called the hallowed halls of Congress, right? That's the term that they used to use, hallowed. And then you look at who they send today, and you've got a whole litany of people, especially, you know, many on the right, who really, man.
Oh, and it's, you know. Right, you're right, but you know, even on our side, we got to clean it up too.
No,
we
got
to clean it up too. We're not without fault, you know.
Listen. There's no question that we've got some characters and hucksters on both sides of this, but it's not getting any better, man. It's getting worse, and so we're the people voting and electing and putting these people in these positions. And I think we do it mainly because we like them. We clearly don't vet them. There is no vetting going on anymore. There was a time that if you ran for those positions, you had to be vetted.
You're right. And
now there is no vetting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Earl, you actually vent these people through this new radio media that you're involved in. You're going head to head with all the talking heads now in Wisconsin, and you're making a difference. And you know, and I know, if I'm a betting man, this is going to explode. They're going to want this all over the country, all over the country. So they, you know, we've never stood up and said enough is enough. But just like anything else, where there was the marches years ago or whatever, finally, we've just had enough. You've pushed us to the point now. And we have to get the credibility. When you and I were young and we met a congressman, we'd go, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, right.
Congressman, oh, look at him, man. You know, I was led to believe that's a lot of dignity and honesty, and this is a smart man. Now, how can we look our grandkids in their eyes
Bill,
say you have to admire this?
Hey, yes, Bill, sir. Thank you, man. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, just fine. You know, you wonder how these people get into Congress. There was a certain president who had over 40,000 documented lies, and so many of them gratuitous. And what's really frightening about this is this guy was almost reelected. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a couple hundred thousand votes in a half a dozen states all together made the difference. What's allowing these guys to get back in is the fact that the Republican Party, I'll say it, is using a combination of fear, anger, and hatred, xenophobia, LGBTQ phobia, racism, and they're just frightening their base into always coming out to vote. And people don't seem to care whether these people coming into Congress are lying or not. They don't seem to care about anything except, well, let's just keep the libs, because the libs are going to allow everybody else to take over from wherever we are. And you know, this is, it's a terrible state of affairs for a democracy.
You know, Jack, I talked about the first hour, the fact that Rupert Murdoch admitted that his people lied about the lie that Donald Trump told. And so he's in court admitting that the Republicans lied, the people on Fox News, and that Donald Trump lied, told this major lie, and yet there are people who still, in the face of all of that, still support Fox News, still support Donald Trump. And I just don't know anymore, man, where you go with that. You know, it doesn't matter to these people. The lie and the liar, they love both. And so that's what you see. And so the Marjorie Taylor Greens and others, they fit right in that narrative. I don't care, man. You know Donald Trump is a flat-out liar. Rupert Murdoch is saying it right now, and it's in court, and it's proven that Rupert Murdoch has been a liar, and yet people are still supporting that. Jack, thank you very much for the call. CJ, quickly.
Yes, Earl. Fox is number one for 25 years.
Hey, what does that have to do with, man, what does that have to do with the fact that right now Fox News is, and Rupert Murdoch is being sued for $1.6 billion because the people on Fox News have been lying, and he admitted it himself. Bring him up.
Watch Special Report and Brett Baer.
I don't need
him. He's a true journalist. He isn't a talking head. And George Soros.
Hey, CJ, George Soros is not being sued for $1.6 billion is Rupert Murdoch. And Rupert Murdoch admitted, I don't care what paper you read today, it's in all of them, has admitted that Donald Trump lied and that many on Fox News supported the lie.
It's not about Donald Trump. I want accountability. George Soros lied.
Wait a minute, man. George Soros is not in court being sued. It is Rupert Murdoch.
Court. I still want truth.
What do you mean you want truth?
Tells the truth.
Fox News
is number one because they have both sides of issues, and we listen to
CJ, how can you, and you didn't call earlier when we had plenty of time to have the discussion, but how can you possibly still support Fox News when all over in all the different formats, including Rupert Murdoch, the owner, admitted that his people had lied?
They're pundits.
What
they aren't journalists.
Whether they're pundits or not, man, they lied. They're on his station.
Right there. He's a journalist. And that's who you look for. I watch them all.
Yeah.
I watch them all.
I know you watch the liars. You watch the liars.
That's why I come with facts.
And you can't dispute my facts. You didn't, I challenge you in the first hour of the show when we had some time to go over facts and you didn't call. You call in the last 2 minutes of the show to unload your foolishness because you couldn't, there's no way you could have defended what Rupert Murdoch has said about his own station. Yes.
Facts, and you can't dispute facts.
Rupert Murdoch, the facts that Rupert Murdoch put out, CJ, was that he agreed that many of the people on this station lied. That's the facts, CJ. That's the facts.
The fact that we learned Donald Trump told the truth, the COVID came from the lab.
Hey, CJ, I don't care whether COVID came from the lab or wherever it came from, that has nothing to do with the subject that we're talking about now.
I'm talking about misinformation. And you've spewed it and transported it just like CNN, MSNBC, the devil's advocate. You guys repeat stuff that we've now found out
you mean like many of the folk who are over on Fox News and getting paid and been proven to be liars, that's all right with you, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, then what are you talking about?
You've perpetuated.
Well, then what are you talking about? I'm not being sued, CJ. I'm not being sued for lying. They are.
I still want the truth.
You don't want the truth, man. You don't want the truth. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.